Yud Ches Ador Sheni, Monday the 25th of March, Rabbi Yossi David, Gnei the Stas and Parshas Poro.
The two topics he just mentioned are really not connected with each other, but as it was something which came up on Shabbos, people were discussing this. It seems to be a very trend, or this actually it's become a business a little bit, the way people collect money. I'm not now running down Chas V'Shalom any organization or anything. I just thought, B'derech Limud, let's try and discuss and understand what you are allowed to do in order to collect tzedakah, what you're not allowed to do to collect tzedakah. My thought is this whole concept of matching up, or doubling, timesing by three. So the question which was raised was, are you allowed to not be honest about it? Yeah? And you don't really have someone who matches up anything. Or, let's make it better, and less of a lie, someone has already donated the money. He's already given, whatever, £500,000. And you're telling people there's someone matching up, when he's anyway unconditionally donating the money. That's the whole question which is going on. Khalil, I'm not running down anybody. I'm sure all the organizations are well being managed by a council of Talmid HaChamim or people who are experts in this. Oh, very good. He seems to be quite an obvious thing. Everybody pipes up. Neighbors das, sheker, mamish. So I was thinking to myself, as we were sitting and discussing, not long ago, connected to Pesach, the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Peter says something very interesting. Someone who tells his children, Ha'im el Lebonov, Harini shochet et ha-Pesach al menat sheyaleh rishon, al mi sheyaleh rishon l'Yerushalayim. I'm shechting the Korban Pesach on the first of my children who reaches Yerushalayim. So the impression given is that he's only shechting on one of the children, whoever reaches Yerushalayim first. The rest should sort themselves out. So Gemara, the Mishnah says, the first one who reaches Yerushalayim, he is Zoycheh, and he's Mezakeh's brothers with, which is not understood so much. The Gemara's first question is, there's machloket in the whole of Shas, yesh breira or en breira. How can you stand at the time you've been zeveach, the Korban Pesach, and start saying, it's an adas of the one, you don't know who it is. So this must be a right to the opinion which holds yesh breira. Even if you're not clear who is going to be the one, but you can say. The Gemara says, no, really the father had in mind all the children. He had in mind all the children in the Korban Pesach. But he didn't tell them. He tricked them. In order to urge them to come fast to Yerushalayim, he told them, I'm only doing it on the first one who comes to Yerushalayim. So it seems to be, in order to urge people to do a mitzvah, you can mutar leshanois. You can say a little bit of sheker here. To urge, emes is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Hashem wants you to be zrizim, to be urged for mitzvahs. That's emes. Yeah? I've just explained the whole concept of Yaakov and Esau. It's not really sheker, yeah? B'mirma is b'chochma, like the Targum says, yeah? Sometimes Ratzon Hashem, that's emes. Yeah? If someone is not wearing a nice suit, he went and bought himself, he spent a lot of money, and he comes to you, and he tells you, do you like my suit? What would sheker be? People think, I've got to tell him the truth. It's disgusting, the suit you're wearing. I would never buy it. That's sheker. Even if you feel that, that's sheker. Ratzon Hashem is, you should tell him, wow, that's a nice mitzvah. That's a nice suit. Beautiful. That's emes. Yeah? In the home it works like that. Sometimes it's on the same. So it could be here, the Gemara seems to say, you're allowed to say something which is not accurate, not right, you're not doing the shechita only in the first child, in order to urge the poor children to come up quickly to Yerushalayim. And really, you have all of them in mind.
Same with the color.
Huh?
Same with the color.
Color, yeah, color, remember Chasuda. Yeah, because of Mishmah, they say, well, there's no such thing as not color. They're all beautiful. They just have to be, al menat shatatsuni betachshitim, no? They're all beautiful, yeah? It's That's not mean to be such a shaker, but you're right. You're absolutely right. Yeah. Examples go on and on. So anyway, so it seems to me, but some argued and said, that's an inyan of chinuch. Yeah? You have to educate your children on all expenses. Yeah? And we don't always say 100% the truth, yeah? To our children. We have to sometimes, to get them to do things properly. I was saying, that's an inyan of zizim. Here it's a mitzvah, tzedakah. But anyway, you look further, you dig further into the sugya, and I remember there's a vesi. The Beis Yosef speaks about it clearly. There's a Gemara in Erechim. The Gemara in Erechim, the Vav says, Tan Rabbonan, sell a zuli tzedakah. Someone says, this amount of money is going for tzedakah. Yeah? Ad shelo bat lidei gabai, until it doesn't come to the hands of the money collector, the gabai, then he can change to whatever tzedakah he wants to. Yeah, the Gemara says, Yochol Hashanoise, he can use it and give other ones a bit later. It hasn't yet reached the hand of the Gaboim. However, says the Gemara, once it's reached the hands of the Gaboim, then he can't do anything. The Gabai has to give it to the poor people, and that's it. The Gemara asks a question. The Harab Yanai, Yazi Fupara. Rabbi Yanai used to collect money for Anim, for poor people, and he used to borrow that money, use it for himself, and after a month or two, I'm exaggerating, after a week or two, he used to take out money and repay it to the, give it to the Anim. So he used to borrow and handle. How can he do that? Once it's reached the hand of the Gabbai, how can Rabbi Yanai do such a thing? So the Gemara says something very interesting. Gemara says, Shani Rabbi Yanai de nicha lehu le'anim de kama de mashe me'ase umayti lehu. The Gemara da Vava Mutbet in Erechin says, different was Rabbi Yanai. Was a kind of a Gabbai that he used to eliminate the money in the Pushka in order to force people and to urge people to give more money. There's no money. There's no money left. So he used to borrow the money in order to be able to collect more money. Wouldn't that fall into the category of Gnevas Das or Sheker? He went and borrowed. Today, such a person, the charity commissioner, was definitely out he go. He can't be a gabbai at all. But Rabbi Yanai used to do that. Come on, no. So Beis Yosef asks two questions. Beis Yosef says, and the Rambam brings this la'alocha, that if the anim have an advantage, have gained by the fact that the person who's collecting borrows the money or keeps it longer with himself, i.e. that he's able to collect more money, then he's allowed to borrow it and use it. Beis Yosef asks a question. He says, why did he have to borrow the money? Let him just tell people there's no money in the Pushka. There's no money. Beis Yosef asks this question. Like, why couldn't he tell people there's no money? I would consider that a proper sheker, no? Beis Yosef asks it. So he gives two answers. The first answer, he says, really, he could have done that. You have to understand why. He could have done that. He could have told people there's no money, when there really was money. But because he could have done that, he was able to do such a thing in order to collect more money. Therefore, the Anim are quite pleased and happy that now he should be able to borrow the money as well and use it for his own use and then repay it. So really, I couldn't have mistaken. He could have lied and he could have said that there's no money in order to cause people to give even more money for the poor people. Second answer, says the Beis Yosef, he didn't want to take out sheker from his mouth. He didn't want to lie explicitly, there's no money. So therefore, he would borrow first the money. Once he's borrowed the money, there's really no money. So now when I tell people there's no money, there isn't really money. That falls into Gnevas Das as well, I would call it, no? I found this difficult. When you learn the Beis Yosef, you find it hard. The Gemara, you find, there's other pshatim in the Gemara, but that's the way the Rambam learns, that's the way the Beis Yosef learns with Shulchan Aruch Paskins. Shulchan Aruch Ramah. Seems to be no argument. Unlike the other Rishonim. And I was wondering, what's going on? And I'm looking by Mephoshim to find and try and find out, try and find out. And I found the new art scroll, the Hebrew art scroll, quotes a sefer called Shmos Chaim. I've never heard of the sefer. So I managed to get hold of this system, what's this trick system, as you call it, it's a chokhmah. And I typed in Shmos Chaim, and I see someone contemporary. It was printed 2 years before the art scroll. He must have been involved in creating the art scroll in Hebrew. So he put his sefer at the bottom. Very good, boys. I'm so happy. And he's got a whole section on this. And he asks a question. What happened to Sheker What happens? It's a sheker, I can understand. You know what? Sorry, you're allowed to be meshane lektzorich dvar mitzvah. Like you can allow to be meshane. So it seems to be sheker. But the problem is, gneiva does. There's an element of gneiva here. People are giving you only because they think there's no money. People are only giving you because they don't know you borrowed the money. If they know that, they probably wouldn't give. They'd be very not happy with you. What happened to gneiva's das? Where is it gone? He actually goes further to question from different sugyas, which I don't think is so hard. But anyway, with the answer we'll be able to. He brings the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi in Shkolim says, "En poidim shovui beshovui ben goivin talis betalis." There's a few explanations of this Talmud Yerushalmi. Yeah? Masachet Shkolim hasn't got Talmud Babli, it's Talmud Yerushalmi, as we all know. But there it says, this memory, it says, "En poidim shovui beshovui." You don't redeem a prisoner with another prisoner. Yeah? Meaning to say, the Marash, the Rash, who gives explanation on the Mishnah, says, you don't take a very important person and you say, I'm coming to redeem him in order to redeem someone much less, in order to collect more money. Or, for instance, talis metalis. You want to buy a suit for a poor person, so you go and try it. What's the expensive? Boss, yeah? All these Shatnez full suits. And you show people, I want to buy this suit for this poor person. So people see, wow, it's expensive. So everybody starts giving him more money because of that. At the end, you end up buying the only a simple suit. But in order to get people to give more money, says the Maharaj, you can't do that. His lotion is, Kegon shirotzu likach talis le'oni ve'lokhu agabayim. This is a Maharash Sirloi. Yeah, Sirloi. It's one of the Mepharshim of the Mishnah Rishonim. And he writes that you will take a talis and you show an expensive in order liftoach leva anoshim. Sometimes people exaggerate. There's costs for, they collect for poor people, or they collect for charity. They exaggerate the amount needed in order that, you know, maybe we'll get to the target by the Seder. You're pressurizing the tzibur and you're taking them from be'oino. It's mamish oino, like this oino by Mekach. Here you're taking out of people money which you wouldn't give otherwise. Interesting. I think pshat in the Marash is that you're collecting more than what you actually need. But he understood, the one who writes is Shmos Chaim, his name is Yozhik. Yeah, he lives in Bnei Brak. So he writes that the issue is there that he's collecting what's necessary. And even then you can't trick people and make them in order to collect necessary. I think they are more. He says, a lot tzorech. How can the Marash say, the Rash say, it's a lot tzorech? When you're getting to the target, it's tzorech. So you're lying for time. Anyway, so I don't know what he brings, but anyway, I'm just bringing for. Then he brings the Mishnah and Peah. The Mishnah and Peah, it says, Chol mishen aloi chigev aloi suma. Someone makes himself, you know, you get people poor, make themselves, they take crutches and they stand as if they've got no leg, or they stand like that. And they fool people to collect money. So the Tosfos Chadashim says, the Mishnah and Peah says that you won't die before, Chalila, a person will not die without really being disabled or really being poor. It's talking about an honest, poor person. Not so honest, but he's poor. He really hasn't got money. But he knows that people will give him more if he will. So he's really collecting for a cause, but he's doing it in a Tosfos Chadashim, one of the Achronim. Yeah? He writes, no good. You're not allowed to do it. Falls into the category of Gneiva's Das. Now, the truth is, I'd like to differentiate, yeah? Really, there's a mitzvah which a Rambam brings in Perek Zayin al Achayud, in Matnas Anim. You're allowed to force Koyfin al Atzdoka. It's a Gemara. There's a Gemara, yeah? That you're allowed to force people. Gemara Babasa Daf Chesamut Beis says, Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rav Ravua, Memashkenim al Atzdoka. And it's a Gemara in Kiddushin Afayin Vavumut Beis. And it says, look, if your person is wealthy, you can pressurize him, you can force him to give tzedakah. And it says, ki hada rava forced Rav Nosson bar Ami, he forced him and he took from him 400 zuz. Forced him to give tzedakah. The chora and the category are falling to four, and I look at them, mafarshim there. If you can force and take him in shalom ritzoina, even he doesn't want to give. You can force him to give, you know he's got the money. So surely you can trick him to give the money. It's an even more pleasant way of giving the money. Yeah? So surely it should fall into the category, but we have to understand. Tosfos asks a question, how can you force people to give tzedakah? It's matan tzchor and betzidan. Yeah? It's one of the mitzvahs which the Torah says, patoch tiftach, lo teametzet leor, lo tikvots, and it says in the pasuk, ki bilal hadavar hazeh, yevarechecha, because of this thing, you give charity, you give tzedakah, because Baruch Hu is going to give you brachas, it's matan tzchor and betzidan. So it says Tosfos, the Gemara in Chulin says, you don't force people when the Torah is forcing you by giving you reward, and koifina, you should be koifin tzedakah. So one of the answers Tosfos gives, Rabbeinu Tam gives two answers. Rabbeinu Tam gives the, it's kfir bidvarim, the other is kibla latzma shakufu, they agree that people should be koifin, but then he gives a different answer. He says, mitzvah of tzedakah is an aseh, it's not just a simple mitzvah, it's too loving. It says, lo teametzet levavcha, velo tikpots yadcha, too loving. So it's an aseh with too loving. Therefore you definitely koifin people, and you force people to give tzedakah. Don't worry, don't get pressurized now. I'm going to give you now the whole... Yeah, the Radvaz says that tzedakah is a takana la'aniyim, it's like a chov, and therefore when someone owes money, Beis Din can interfere and fraud. Obviously, these charity organizations are not Beis Din, they have no right to force anybody, but there's a further problem here. All of this which we're discussing now is talking about aniyim, poor people. Poor people, it's a chov. Poor people, the Rambam says, koifin al tzedakah, it's about aniyim. Now what people are collecting for other courses, there may be a good course, there may be an important course, but that won't fall into the category of a chov. That won't fall. Let's say a person has a shul, and he wants a luxury shul. They want to buy it. They've got a place with a rent, they want a luxury shul. For that, there's no heter of kfir. So therefore the answer whether you can do gneves das or not doesn't fall into that, because it's not tzedakah of anim. So we're talking about tzedakah of anim, then you can involve gneves das, like the Beis Yosef says. But other tzedakahs, I think they should ask and find out whether that's the case. Whether you can. Obviously, chalila v'chas, most of these tzedakahs which you're collecting, they've really got the sponsor who's really matching, and there's no trick about it. I'm just saying, could they really make as if there is, in order to cause people to bring more? So it's a chiluk between tzedakah to anim, and it's a chiluk between tzedakah to any other courses which not, are not for anim. It's just for you to have a more comfortable place. Huh?
If the person gives masa already, you can still be questioned.
I'm not talking about masa now. Masa is not in your tzedakah. Yeah? I'm not talking about masa. What you take a tenth is. I'm talking about when you have the money, you can force a person to give to anim if you have the money, if you have spare money. Yeah, what you take mice is a difference. It's also, it's at tzedakah, but it's not in, you know, you can't be koif, you can't force people to give a tenth. I'm talking about when a person has money, you can...
No, but if they already give a tenth, or even chomesh,
can you still force them to give... You shouldn't be mebazva. Bazva is only bazva yotem chomesh, no?
You shouldn't. So
it's not good. You can't be koif. I'm talking about people who have amid. The Gemara says, amid, someone rich, you can force. Yeah, so who falls into the category of rich? It depends who you ask. Anyway, it's just a little kechotea la gechalim. It's not really going into the sugya very deep. There's a lot to discuss here on this whole subject. It's a big chiddush to me. Anyway, let's go back to Pasha's Porah. I don't know if it was discussed or not, and you probably heard it before. But I thought, you know, that as a preparation for Shabbos Porah, we should get a little bit into the Indian of Porah to try and understand the mitzvah of listening to Kriyas HaTorah. This is the second sefer which we're going to bring out, Pasha's Porah, whether it's a Chiyuv Deoraisa or not, just to have a summary, to have clear why would it be Deoraisa. We go through a few main opinions here. Shulchan Aruch writes clearly in Siman Kuf Mem Vav, Seif Bet, V'chol ze eno inyan l'parsha zocho Pasha's Porah. Yeah, when he talks about what you can do during Kriyas HaTorah, and it's worth it to look at what you can do during Kriyas HaTorah, to be very careful. People who talk during Kriyas HaTorah, Baruch Hashem, I don't have to warn. These Bata Knesses, yes, the shuls are very particular on these things. But unfortunately, many of our shuls are very not particular about talking during Kriyas HaTorah, yeah? The Ben Ish Chai writes in a book called Keter Malchut. He brings in the name of the Zohar. From the second they open the Sefer Torah to read, it's an Eis Rotzen. Even Ben Gavra LeGavra. Don't waste the time talking Dvarim Betelim Chalila when the Sefer Torah is open. It's an Eis Rotzen. Daven for whatever you need. Make sure you occupy yourself and you don't get distracted from the second the Sefer Torah opens to when it closes. Yeah? So I don't have to. And mezazim elal as mezurazim. Yeah? So The Shulchan Aruch writes, all of this, whether you can do Shnayim Mikra during Kriyas HaTorah or not, that's only talking about the regular Kriyas HaTorah, but it's not talking about Parashat Zachor and Parashat Para. Shulchan Aruch Stam and Kuf Mem Vav. We all know, and also in Tafresh Pei Hei, the Shulchan Aruch brings Yeshoyim Lim Sheparashat Zachor, Parashat Para, again, is the Oraisa, it's more than twice. So we know the Vilna Gaon said, Nuscha Meshubeshet, a Tosfos which was a bit Meshubash. Yeah, printing error in the Tosfos. I saw the Nachal Eshkol. Yeah, writes, what's the Nuscha Meshubeshet? It was Pei. It was Parshas Purim. It was opened up as Parshas Para. Yeah, but the truth is, if you look at the old print in Venezia, in Venice, very old print of the first Gemara with Tosfos, and it says quite clearly Para Aduma there. So it can't be they opened the Rashi Tevis and added on the word Aduma. Yeah, so it's very, very hard to say that. So there's a great source to what the Marshal took it out of the gifts of our Tosfos, but really was there in Brochus Daf Yud Gimel, quite clearly. Yeah, that we talk about things which are Nema Becholoshen. So then talk about Kriyas HaTorah, Rashi says, and Tosfos argues with Rashi. He says maybe it means Parshas Zoch and Parshas Pora. Pora was written there, was taken omitted by the Marshal. So the Shulchan Aruch has great sources the Oraisa. However, the Magen Avraham says, where is the source to read Parshas Pora? I understand by a monarch it says Zachor ve'al tishkach, Zachor bepeh ve'al tishkach. It can't be tukah shicha belev, it can't be tukah, but it says Zachor, it says already al tishkach. So that's the source. But where does it say in Parashat Parah that you have to read it out of the Sefer Torah? What's going on here? We don't even have a Parah Adumah nowadays. So Magen Avraham writes, his Loshon is, En tam bekriyata midoraita ve'gam lo yadati eichem remiza. I don't know where it's merumas. By the way, there's all a question if there is or not, but definitely there's a chiyuv to do it. Yeah, no question about it. So Magen Avraham asks this question. Also, if in the Gaon, the Pichodosh, the Bach, the Shla Kodosh, the Maharil, all hold it's the Rabbonon, it's not the Oraisa, and there's something wrong with the Gilsa. And the truth is, Tosfos of Yehuda Chosid says, like the Shulchan Aruch, the Gilsa is Parshas Parah Adumah, is also the Oraisa, and it's not only, it's quite a lot of issues. So Shans, the Rashva, the Ritva, we can't say they all make printing errors and they both by mistake Parah Adumah. They all say it's the Oraisa. So we have to try and understand why would it be the Oraisa. You know, the Malbim wrote a sefer called Artsot HaChaim. Yeah, it's a sefer on Shulchan Aruch as well. And on Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't go up too long, yeah, the whole of the Orach Haim, but he wrote on a few Sibonim. So the Malbim writes in Siman Aleph, in the first Siman, and there's a parish called Eretz Yehud on the Shulchan Aruch, which is Marech, is Mefalpel, as Gebiyo Alocha on the Shulchan Aruch. And he writes, he asks, in the beginning of Orach Haim, why isn't there a chiyuv to mention Parshas Egel every day? We find in Parshas in Devarim and Ekev, it says, Zachor ba'al tishkach et asher, al tishkach et asher, k'tzavta, what you annoyed HaKadosh Baruch in the Midbar. So according to him, you should be mentioned Ma'aseh Egel. Why don't you mention Ma'aseh Egel every day? So he brings the Magen Avraham to answer, the Gaon Siman Aleph says, the Siman Beis, he says, that the reason why we don't mention Ma'aseh Egel, it's mekatzrig on us, it's a kitrug. So therefore, we don't want to mention it. So says the Artsot HaChaim, now worked out with Parashat Parah. And Rashi, after he finishes commenting on Parashat Parah, he brings B'Shem Rav Moshe Darshan, a whole explanation of the whole Parashat Parah Aduma, that it's all corresponding to the Chet HaEgel. So since that corresponds to Chet HaEgel, that's a Zachor Ba'al Tishkach. We remember Ma'aseh HaEgel in a positive form. The Tumah came to the Jewish people after Chet HaEgel because Paschal Zomatim Atam Ma'amad HaSinai, they got it back at the time of Chet HaEgel. And therefore, we read Parashat Parah Adumah as a remembrance of Ma'aseh HaEgel. But there's a big difficulty on that because really we should be Yotze when we read Parshas Kitzisa. Then we clearly mention Chet HaEgel. Why don't we have Kavona to be Yotze there? Maybe on the special Shabbos. Huh? What?
The Sheish
Zechurot. Yeah, it should be there.
Every day.
Yeah, we should be reading it in public. It's the Chaval Tishka, same Lusa. Really, it's a Sifri. The Torah Tmima went against his father. By the way, just to remind, the Torah Tmima was father originally, yeah? His name was Ben Beniski. Yeah, see the unity, see the beauty, huh? Yeah, the one embarrassed to adopt Ashkenazi names. So he took Epstein because they helped him out and they were run away from this. But Baruch Hashem, he was Torah Tmima, so Torah Tmima goes against his father. Because his father asks the same question, why should Parshas Parah be Midoraisa? And he brings a different source, second source. So we've done one source. Torah Tmima goes like the Malbim. He says there's a Torah Kohenim clearly saying, Zachor ve'al tishkach on the Ma'aseh HaEgel. says clearly on the things that you have to read it like Parshas Zachar. So why is it? He says it's a tmiah on all the Rishonim. Why they didn't bring such a thing? The Parshas, so then he brings the answer that yes, they bring Parshas Poreh the Oraisa. So Poreh comes instead of the Chet HaEgel. So he goes on the same lines as the Malbim. Then the Aruch HaShulchan answers slightly different. He goes different. He says, it says Ve'ayso lebnei Yisrael lechuk asoylam at the beginning of the Parsha, and at the end of the Parsha repeats again Ve'ayso lachem lahem lechuk asoylam. To tell you, why say second time, it's tell you in future, even after, for Dere Deres, to take the Chiyuv Kriya, even when there isn't Efer Apora. So, Im Kabbalah Nekavel. Yeah, where's this Drosha? Where does he bring it? But that's what he brings to explain the ideas, the Oraisa. The Meshech Chochmah is a whole people that's going more and more. It's just the Moedim Zmanim of Shtenbuch brings the same thing as the Meshech Chochmah. It didn't even mention the Meshech Chochmah. So he might have thought about it himself. The Gosugi and Gemara in Yuma. Then the Gemara in Yuma learns from the Shiva Yibei Miluim that you have to be mafresh the Kohen Gadol also 7 days before Yom Kippur and 7 days before doing the Porah Aduma. And it's learned all from the Miluim that the Kohenim were set aside from Chav Gimel Adar, which is plus minus soon, yeah? They were set aside. Moshe was doing the Avodah, but they had to stand aside, and then Rosh Chodesh came, and they got involved directly, the Kohenim, yeah? So it seems to be, you have to be Mafrish. So we learned there's a comparison between Porah Aduma to Miluim, Porah Aduma Yom Kippur to Miluim, and then the Gemara later on in the Fei, Amud Beis says in Yuma, that just like over there, it says Zeh HaDover, you have to have a Kriya, you have to read what the Torah was commanded by the Miluim, you have to read Zeh HaDover, Moshe said. So therefore we learn also by Yom Kippur, you have to also read, that's what the Kohen Gadol used to read from the Chumash. And also, by Porah Aduma, there's a Chiyuv Kriya as well, before the Maise. That's how the Meshech Chochmah brings it, the Moedim Uzmanim says a similar thing, but the really the Meshech Chochmah says, Ve'az, when they used to bring the Korban of Porah Aduma, the Kriya to read the Parsha of Porah Aduma would be the Oraisa. Well, not nowadays, yeah? But this came the Oraisa, because it was done at one point that Kriya would have been the Oraisa, so even today with the Oraisa. That's the third reason. The fourth reason is the Bnei Yisachar. Bnei Yisachar wrote a Sefer Agra de Kala, yeah? That's on the Chumash. And on Parsha Chukas, he writes, the Bnei Yisachar, that he explains, he says, here's a big riot to the Bandoma, which told us the Oraisa to read Parshas Porah. Where? Because it says in the Torah, Zot Chukat HaTorah, Shetzivah Lemor. It says Lemor the second time. Why does it say Lemor twice? First time we understand. But the second time, Lemor what? So this is an indication that we have a tzivu here to read it again and again, all through the generations to come. Yeah? Parshas Porah. Okay, nice ideas. We should be mechavel at the time we do it. Why not? Imenu mo'il eno mazik. Yeah? At least the Achroinim trying to work out why the Rishonim write such a thing. But there's a gifts in the Rishonim like that. Parshas Porah d'Oraisa. You can't ignore it. Yeah? The nafkamina between all those reasons would be, are women obligated like Parshas Zachar? By the way, we hold the women are not obligated. Torah Yishma brings like the Min Chinuch, that the Lav Nois Min Chama, they don't have to come for Parshas Zachar. But however, the Kavachayim and all the Achroinim say that women should also come, that we take away Kalo Mechuposas. It means even women have a Chiyuv to be Mishtatim in Parshas Zachar. What about Parshas Porah? Do women have to make an effort to come? Generally, the Magen Avraham holds the women have a chiv to hear Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos. Yeah? Even though the meaning in this place was the woman used to walk out for Kriyas HaTorah. But the Magen Avraham says the women have a chiv. Why? Because Oile Leminyan Sheva. Let's not introduce new ideas. But the Gemara says the woman Oile Leminyan Sheva. Yeah? She can be counted as part of the Oilim LaTorah. It must be the connection, must be the chiv. Anyway, so do women have to? If the reason was because of the Chet HaEgel, like the Malbim explains, the women didn't interfere in Chet HaEgel. So they don't need the kapor of Chet HaEgel. Rosh Chodashim are given to them a pickle, as it said. So therefore they don't have to come and hear Parshas Porah. That's a criticism, it's not for them. Mind you, they have other places where they annoyed the Kodesh Baruch in the Midbar. Maybe they have to do Zechira for those. But according to the other reasons, perhaps women also have to prepare themselves for Korban Pesach. So therefore they have to hear Parshas Porah in order to prepare themselves for Korban Pesach. Anyway. Thank you.